Hello, I'm Charlotte Armitage and this is Objects.
On this episode, I'm speaking to Gemma Kerr. Gemma was brought up in Ayrshire. As a baby, Gemma spent 3 months in foster care before being adopted by her mum and dad. When Gemma was picked up from the social work office, she was dressed in a blue hat, yellow cardigan and a pink baby girl. The family, the sense of belonging and the fondness for eye-catching, brightly coloured fashion is something that has stayed with Gemma throughout her whole life. As Gemma got older, she began to understand that being adopted makes up a huge part of her identity, and this was a contributing factor for her going on to complete a degree in social work before working in the residential care sector. Since then, Gemma has become a beloved advocate for care experienced people in North Ayrshire and is the voice of love at our annual summer camp. As postie, she delivers notes of support between new friends, and as medic, she has reassured and rubbed the backs of many who have overindulged in hot chocolate. And Gemma has opened brown paper envelopes that she thought she would never open. Gemma has been a huge source of support for me in my care journey, and I look to her as a role model and friend. Gemma, thank you so much for joining me on Objects.
Hello, Charlotte. Thank you for having me along this afternoon.
I'm sure many of our members will know who you are, but for listeners who don't know you, can you please tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name's Gemma Kerr. I have worked for Who Cares Scotland for 3.5 years now. The role I did before was an advocacy and participation worker, but I'm now part of the training and education team. I am here today because I'm a care experienced person and I was adopted when I was a baby.
So before we move on to hearing all about your chosen objects, I just want to ask you first, how was it finding them? What was your process and how quickly did they come to you?
So the process, first of all, when you asked me to do this, it was a real privilege to be asked. And it's a real honour to come along and talk as an adopted person about what that's like and as being care experienced. But because I was adopted as a baby, I was like, I really don't know what I would have from before care. So my objects kind of came in a reverse way, because if I think about the 3 months I spent in foster care as my care experience, then everything that came after that could have been after care. Or if I think about it, how we at Who Cares Scotland talk about lifelong care, then am I still in care? So it was really interesting process for me, and I'm a very sentimental person, so I really went around it took me quite a while to really decide on the three objects that I wanted to, but once I decided on them, I know in my heart of hearts that these are the right things to bring along today.
And did it take you, like you said, it was like quite a journey? How long did it actually, once you got it, did you just, that was it?
Yeah, I mean, so the first object that I have, I've always known the existence of this object. Mm. I've always known where it was. I've always known I could see it. I just never have. And also had to think not just about me, but about my family. So that was something that I approached and spoke to my mum. And my mum's response was that this was such an honour for me to be asked. So spent some time with my mum looking at the object and looking at other things that she had as well. So it's been a good process, not just for me, but also for my family as well.
So it sounds like a very special first object, which represents for you before care. Do you want to tell us what this object is?
So I've got two sheets of paper here that represent my first object, and it's information. Well, I'll tell you, it's the details of my natural parents. So this document, my mum and dad had this, my adopted mum and dad, who I refer to as mum and dad and will do throughout this. My mum and dad have always had this in their house. I think they got this before they got me, along with a lot of the other paperwork that they had, which was mostly lawyer's fees, actually. So I know how much it cost. But I'm quite happy to read just maybe a couple of lines, because it kind of sets the scene and will maybe help you understand what I've just learned about myself as well and what led me to come in here. So if I read a bit about First Mother, it says, the mother is 5'5½", has dark blonde hair, hazel greenish eyes and of medium build. She is a pleasant looking girl with a nice smile and a sparkling personality. Further on down, it says that a career is important to this girl, and she very much wishes to obtain a CQSW and become a social worker. And then at the bottom, it says the mother wishes to give her baby the same type of security as she herself had as a child, and for this reason has placed her child for adoption. So although I've never known anything about my origin, I always held that belief and that to be true, that I was given up for adoption because they couldn't give me the life that they wanted to, and that they saw that was the option, best option for me and for them. I mean, the line, she is a pleasant-looking girl with a nice smile on her part. I mean, you could describe me like that, but also I can't believe that's in a piece of paperwork to describe someone. Yeah. I don't think it would be written like that nowadays. And when I read the first father, it says the father is 17 and he is 5'5" tall, slim with dark hair and blue-grey eyes. He is quiet but with a good sense of humour. Goes on to say that his main interests are music, and he plays the drums in a group. He likes his motorbike and swimming. And then at the bottom it says, this couple have known each other for about 3 years and they still have a close relationship. However, they are as yet unprepared for the responsibilities of marriage in a family, both emotionally and financially. It kind of gives you a snapshot of, what was happening for them, and also... there's some bits in there. If I think about the nature-nurture debate, I mean, I've gone on to get my social work degree. I did drumming at school. It's quite funny to read bits about myself.
How does that feel for you now to be sitting here just in a room reading these? You said that you'd not read them, like, recently. This is a new discovery for you.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about it since you approached me months ago now, doesn't it? It seems like, so this has been on my mind, and part of me thought I might just bring them in a closed envelope and not actually look at them. I've really been toying with what benefit will I get from reading this. But what, I'm pleased that there's no names in here, because that's not what I was looking for, and that's not what I'm wanting, and that's not why I've brought this along today. But I think it's just more... it just gives me an idea of where I came from. The first father is what it says here is really quite sad, actually, because both his parents died of cancer when he was younger, and he has one brother and four sisters, and he went on to live with one of his older sisters when his parents died, and that just really, I just felt a great sadness for him. My dad died last year of cancer, and I'm still grieving that. And to think of, this, I don't know at what age his father, well, both his parents died of cancer, I think must have been really hard. And also, he would have been in kinship care.
Care experienced.
Yeah, he was care experienced himself. So I'm wondering at what age he went into kinship care. And also, not selfishly, that's the wrong word, but if I think about my own health and I think about genetics and I think about... the very fact that both of his parents died of cancer, it would make me think, what type of cancer, and what does that mean for me? But also statistically, one in two people get cancer anyway, and I live a healthy lifestyle, I like to think, so I'm not dwelling in that fact. But yeah, there's some sadness in there when you read this. Not for me, I'm not sad for me, I'm sad for what they've gone through.
And do you think, you feel, now that you've got that in your hand as well, you said you weren't looking for names, but you've got information just a little bit about who they were. Does that feel good as well, on the other hand,
It does feel good. It gives me a kind of idea. I mean, I used to have this, it's not a fantasy, well, maybe it is, that I used to think... that my it was almost like it was a scandal in the family, and my birth mum would have got sent away to live with her auntie in the country till she had the baby. And when I read this, first mother's father was a chief forester, and so actually she lived in the country anyway, and she enjoyed horse riding. So it wasn't so much a scandal that got sent away; it just was where she lived. I suppose it's just. It answers questions that maybe I didn't know I was asking myself. Yeah, I'm glad I have these two bits of paper to look at. But like I said to my mum, and because my mum was like, "Oh, this is your mum and this is your dad," and I was like, "Well, no, you're my mum and my dad's my dad." Mm. It's just quite a unique position to be in. Mm-hmm. But now that I know what I know, I'm glad that I know it.
Yeah. That seems like a lovely journey that you've been on. So, Gemma, what do you think is the impact of this period of your life? I know it was a very short period, but looking at these pieces of paper, I think it's quite clear there's an impact. So what impact do you think that is?
I mean, the impact would be, well, the decision. I don't think it can ever be an easy decision to say that you're not ready to care for your child. And the impact would be that, that I've had the life that I've had. You know, my mum and dad have given me a wonderful life. And it kind of confirms what it says that the mother wished to happen. And also when I look at the bits that say, you know, that, they were together for 3 years. So that makes me think, there's a Paolo Nutini song, was it? And he talks about that he was kind of conceived in love, and love is how we hope he dies. And I think, you know, that there was a relationship there, and they obviously meant something to one another. So I should take something from the fact that my parents had a lovely relationship. They just couldn't look after me because they were, I believe, so young. So the impact was they had made that decision, but it's been the best decision for me. Mm-hmm. And for not only for me, but for my family. For my mum and dad couldn't have children of their own, and they wanted to adopt. So they adopted my brother 3 years before me, and then they adopted me. And, yeah, they've never looked back. But my mum and dad always told us we were adopted. We always knew we were adopted. That's never been something that they ever hid from us. So, yeah, this kind of brings it back full circle, really, doesn't it?
Mm. I think it's a good time to start exploring your second object now, which represents during care. Gemma, what is your second object?
It's more sheets of paper. I just love paper. this second object is a letter that came with me from my foster carer to my mum and dad the day that I was adopted and the day that I came to live with them. My mum doesn't actually have... This was all that she had from the day that I came. My mum said when I arrived, and I don't want this to sound bad, but she said, like, I just looked like a little orphan. She said, when I come in, I had on this boy's blue helmet, knitted helmet hat, and I had, like, a baby grow on and a yellow cardigan, and something was pink, and I love multicolours, you know that about me, I love mm-hmm. wearing colours and patterns. But she just said she just looked at me, and underneath there was this beautiful wee baby, and she just said, you know, you just look like, we're like, what is she wearing, what have you got on? And that might sound so silly, but I've had friends that have had children, and it's all about what are they going to put their baby in when they're coming home from hospital, what do they want to introduce the family to? Because when I come, the day my mum and dad went to pick me up from social work office, my mum's mum and dad were there, and my dad's mum and dad were there. So it was like the whole family, mm-hmm. the whole family were there. And I think on the way home, they went in and bought me this. My grandma and I asked for the dearest frock in the shop, right? And ended up spending £25 on probably a really frilly dress. But my mum didn't keep any of the stuff. I think they just really wanted to make me part of the family, and for them it was, well, let's get her in a lovely wee outfit, and then, you know, that's how she's home. So this letter is what I have. I've read parts of this letter before, and it's really nice. So, well, there's a bit that kind of upsets me, but I'll tell you that in a minute. I'll just read a little bit of it. It says, "Dear parents, I have enclosed a sample of baby's feeding. She has been put on solids earlier than she should have been because she's a very windy baby and needs regular winding during feeds. But this seems to have helped." She says, there's a bit here. Where is it? This is a bit I don't really like. So she says, "At night you will have to listen to her cry for a few minutes, but I assure you she will settle quite quickly and sleep all night. I have been putting a hat on her at night as she had a slight ear infection a couple of weeks ago. She is fine now, but it is better to keep her ears covered. And then she says, she is a lovely little girl and I hope you will have many happy years with her, from foster mum. So when I read this, and the reason I said the bit about you'll have to listen to her cry at night, when I don't like that idea of me kind of just being left to cry. But I do have friends who have children and I know that you can leave to self-soothe. But part of me thinks about early attachment theory and how long was I left to cry? I don't know. I think that's the professional in me or the social worker in me that's over me. I don't know if I'm overthinking. I'm not going to start analysing my attachment style anytime soon. But I just had a little tinge of sadness there again when I read that. The thought of, I can see myself as a wee baby and just wondering how long was I left to cry and how often before I just... Yeah, I just knew myself to self-soothe. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a parent, so I know there's different schools of thought around that, but just when you're reading it about yourself, it has a different sort of impact on you.
Is it something that you look at often, or is it something that's kept away and look at them?
Well, again, all this stuff was with... So my mum has this like concertina file. It's like birth, it's got like adoption, funeral, it's got everything in it, all the paperwork in it, you know, all the insurance documents, and everything's always been in there. But whenever I've asked to get anything or to see anything, then it's always been available. I read this letter when I think I was about 11 or 12, and I was just snooping around my mum and dad's stuff. I don't know what I was looking for. I don't know if I was looking for presents. Like, I don't know. But I just was like, oh, what's in here and what's in here? And I found this letter, and then I remember reading it and going through to my mum and dad and reading it again with them. And I got it again last year for the Love Rally, and I've kept it. I don't look at it. I like to have it, and I've often thought, who is foster mum? Who is that person?
Do you think you would like to meet her?
I have thought about that. I think out of anyone from my past, who would I like to meet? And because she will have cared for me, so I assume I went into care really from birth, if the decision was made that, you know... my natural parents weren't going to keep me. I must have gone into foster care almost imminently, straight after birth, I would imagine. And I was born in October, and I was adopted in January the 8th. I went to live with my mum and dad. So I was, yeah, that person gave me like my primary care as a baby. So but I also wonder if they'd still be alive. Don't mean to be quite macabre or somber, but I'm just wondering about times and ages, because that would be 38 years ago. And also, I don't know how you would get that information. You need to contact social work about that. But all the paperwork is the Strathclyde Regional Council, because back then we're one big, massive council. However, there is different social work offices are listed on various different paperworks. So this letter just says when my mum and dad were approved to be able to adopt, which is an heir. But then some of my paperwork comes from Irvine. So it's definitely in the Ayrshire vicinity.
How does that make you feel that you don't really know where all of this is? It could be scattered around such a large... region?
I think whenever I get asked questions on paperwork round about where were you born, I always just say Ayrshire or Scotland. Depends what mood I'm in, if I want that conversation or not. I think it's a safe bet, Ayrshire, because I knew my mum and dad, sometimes we would drive past the building in here where they picked me up, so I knew. So that would be South Ayrshire. So I just always knew it must be Ayrshire somewhere. It doesn't really bother me that, like, where it, I suppose, where it would be. Because I've not thought about accessing those files or trying to find that out.
Mm.
But if I was trying to find a foster carer, that might make things quite difficult. Because
mm-hmm.
everything would be archived now.
That's right.
And where would they be? Where would the archives be
that's
held?
That's just a whole another mm-hmm. process, isn't it?
And that's something that we know and something that we're working on just now is helping people access their records. So it's not going to be on a social work system somewhere.
Do you find it strange working with people that are trying to access their records and then yours are all over a different local authority?
I find being adopted... So it's nice to talk about being adopted as care experience, because for a while I would say my care experience was the time I spent in foster care, but I would say adoption is a form of care experience as well. So I'm enjoying actually talking about this and thinking about this, but having worked in residential care and working with people accessing their records, it just brings it all to the forefront as well, all the different experiences that people have. And just the frustrations mm-hmm. of how things are recorded and what a difficult process that actually is.
I mean, you were saying it yourself, the way that your birth mother was described, just a pleasant looking girl. That seems a bit exactly what you were describing there, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I read it. I mean, it just seems, I don't think that's how we would describe someone now, does it? But a friend of mine was like, oh, you know, maybe this is just a nice wee old social worker thought they were saying something nice about someone. I was like, yeah, but I just don't think that's how we would describe someone now. I mean, we do go on to learn a bit about our education, but yeah.
Mm. So we spoke about the impact of before care on your last subject. What do you think the impact of during care has had on you now in your adult life?
I think it brings home how small I was. You know, I was just a baby. That this foster carer had me from, I imagine, days old. And how they raised me and how the information in these three sheets of paper was really telling my mum and dad how to look after me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's telling them how to feed me, when to feed me. It's kind of like the manual of Gemma Care. So, yeah, I really like the bit about the hat, because I wear hats all the time. I love having hats on, and that kind of makes me chuckle that I had them on all the time as a baby.
So many similarities and all mm-hmm. these bits of paper. You talk about the drums, you talk about being a social worker, the hats, colourful, like it all comes back to where you are now as an adult.
It does, and it comes down to the nature and the nurture that we talk about. And there's a bit in here that says, oh, I can't, this is terrible. I had kind of memorised this at one point. But, oh, yeah. It says, she is a happy baby most of the time, but likes to be sitting up watching everything and will fight sleep. I mean, that's so... I don't fight sleep now. I will sleep at any point, but I do like to just sit and watch everything that's going on. And I can just imagine my mum and dad, like, getting this and looking at a three-month-old baby, just being like, right, what do we do and when? But it does, like, reading... It's how it all links together, even at such a short space of time, to now looking at myself as, you know, as an adult, as a woman, and how the similarities are kind of staring right out at you. it is, like I was saying to you at the beginning, it's kind of mind-blowing, actually, how you think you've come so far, but actually you can be straight back into, you know, your childhood.
It's interesting. So the third and final object represents aftercare, where you are now. Gemma, what is your last object?
So my last object will not surprise anyone when I say it's a piece of paper. But this is an extract of an entry in the adopted Children's Register, and it is my adopted birth certificate. Now, the reason I brought this, I looked at lots of things that I thought about bringing. I thought about bringing a photograph, which I have brought with me, but that's not my object of the day I came home and met my family. I've got a recent photograph, and then the jewellery that I wear that connects me to my two grands. But I thought, this is when I officially became Gemma Kerr. This is when I officially became a Kerr, and this is when my name changed. Not just my surname, but my first and second names as well. My mum and dad decided to change my whole name, and I understand there'll be different schools of thought and everyone's got a different opinion, but this is my story and this is my care experience, and I understand why my mum and dad changed my name. And there's a lovely story around the name that they picked for me. So I felt it was... this was the very first object that I decided on. I knew I would bring this. And out of all the objects, I've had this one the longest. So that's why I decided to bring this one along today. So my name that my mum and dad picked was Gemma Stevenson Kerr. I do know what my name was before, but I'm not going to say what my name was before. But my mum and dad made the decision to change it. And I think that was their way of making me theirs and making me part of the family. And when you say what is in a name, and, you know, we could quote Shakespeare and, you know, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But I found a nice wee quote about it, what it says about a name, and it says, "A name represents identity, a deep feeling, and holds tremendous significance to its owner." So my name comes from, I've got two grands. My mum's mum was called Jemima, got called Mima, and my dad's mum was called Sarah Jane, yeah, but she got called Sadie. And when they were trying to come up with a name for me, you know, they were like, "Oh, you could name it after one gran or both grands." And my granny Sadie had been reading a book, and it was set in a miner's village, and it was a miner's daughter who was called after her gran, who was called Jemima, but they called her Gemma. And it was Gemma with a J, because at that time most Gemmas were Gemma with a G, which is something that still haunts me to this day. I'm Gemma with a J, and I'm very specific about that. So my mum said, "Yeah, I really like that. I like the Gemma." And then it was like, "Well, what are we going to?" Mum didn't want to call me Gemma Sarah, and she didn't want to call me Gemma Jane. So my granny Sadie, her maiden name was Stevenson. So that's where the Gemma Stevenson Kerr came from. And it'll be funny, because I talk about identity, and I feel that my identity does come from my mum and dad and the family that raised me. We're a very close family. There's my mum, my dad, I've got an Aunt Grace and my Uncle Jim, and we see one another a lot. My older brother Liam, who I've not mentioned, that's a shame, and I've got my niece as well, and we spend a lot of time together. My gran Jemima died, I think, 6 years ago now. She was a total matriarch of the family, and she loved Liam and I to bits, so she did, and we've always just been family. And we've never felt different at all. And I would do things as a child, and my mum would say, "Oh, that's the care in you. You know, you get that from your dad." And even though I knew, in a way, like I didn't, but it still was a trait that I'd maybe picked up from my dad or something. If I did something, she'd be like, "Oh, that's a Stevenson trait. You never get that from the Bells," because my mum's maiden name was the Bells. And it was all just, I always saw it as little ways that they just kind of reaffirmed that we were their children and this was our family.
Mm. So you talked about identity there. Care experience is obviously a big part of a lot of people's identity. Do you think this side of your identity, is that like a big thing for you? Even though you've had a fabulous family, do you think there's still being care experience is a massive part of your identity? Or
I mean, yeah, being adopted has, like I say, I've always known, and I can't remember not knowing. So it's always been in my life. It's always been conversations that we would have. If maybe something came on the TV, I remember watching a programme years ago and something came on about, was it like Surprise Surprise or something? We're going back a long time. But my mum, it would always trigger a conversation and my mum would say, you know, your dad and I, we will support you if you ever want to, you know, that would never upset us if you wanted to find out who your birth family were. So it has shaped me in a way. I've always told my friends, I've always told, you know, people that I've met. I think it's kind of what led me to wanting to work in care as well. Mm. I think, you know, it's almost like, oh, I want to give something back to the community. I don't want to sound like that, but more things could have worked out really different for me. And I'm very aware of that. I either could have, my adoption could maybe not have worked out, or I could have remained in foster care and then I could have been in long-term foster care, or I could have lived in residential care. Things could have been so different for me. And when I decided that I wanted to go and at least study social work and then work in residential child care, it was something that I drew on. I drew on my personal experiences and just reflecting on that. I'm a really reflective person, like a practitioner, but also in my private life. So I draw a lot from that. And that's kind of what, when I started to work at Who Cares Scotland, is when I suppose I started to talk more about kind of care, being care experienced and identity, just because that's the world that I live and I work in.
Yeah.
I just think there's more opportunity to do that. And it's maybe led me to open in envelopes that I maybe wouldn't have opened, but I'm glad that I have.
That's a really fitting way to finish up on this object. So we've gone on every single object here, we've asked about the impact on this period has had. Reflecting back through the three objects, is there anything that you wish you had at any stage?
Do you know, like, I genuinely look back at my childhood and the experiences that I have had really happily. You know, there's lots of things about being adopted that when I was going through my awkward teen years and people would tell me that I looked like my brother and I'd be like, it's genetically impossible just because maybe I wasn't liking my brother at that time. But Liam and I look very similar, although we're not related in any way. And we look like we could be a family in the sense my dad was 6'2", my brother's 6', I'm 5'8". We're all dark haired. My mum's short. My mum's a wee tot, but we look like a family, and we are a family, and they are my family. I would like to think that my natural parents, I would like them to have, just like, I'd like them to be at peace and to know that what they wanted and what they hoped for me did actually happen.
Mm.
I suppose that's what I would like, because they wouldn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I was adopted at a different time. Legislation's changed, times have changed. You know, I think I was adopted under the Adoption Scotland 1978 Act, and, you know, now we've got the Adoption and Children Scotland Act 2007, and so many things about adoption have changed, about letterbox contact, about remaining in contact. And, yeah, I can't speak for what that would be like if I was adopted nowadays, but I can talk about the experience that I had, and I would like them to know that they made the right decision.
Yeah.
And I would thank them for that and thank my mum and dad for the life I've had.
I suppose doing this objects, you never know. They might...
You never know.
So finally, the last question I've got for you is, now that you've been on objects and you've gone through that process, you've explored your care journey through the three objects, what would you say to other care experienced people who might be interested in being a guest on objects?
I would say to really think about it. Think about Not so much thinking about your objects, that will come, but just think about what you want to get out of the opportunity, but think about where you're at and what that might open up for you, and not just you, but maybe your family or others that, you know, are supporting and are around you. I very much wanted to make sure that my mum was okay with me doing this. And I knew she would be, but I just wanted to give her that opportunity to say, and also for us to have those conversations as well. Mm. I would say go for it. Once you know that you think you're in the right place and that you'll be happy to do that. I mean, I think my objects are quite serious, but adoption is serious, and this was a very important time in my life. Your objects could be absolutely anything. Mm. It's what means something to you. So don't think that it's not relevant. Just like trust in the process and what holds value to you. I know we talk a lot about Harry Potter, and when I worked in care, we spoke a lot about transactional objects, the objects move with you from placements, and objects that mean things to you. And in Harry Potter, we've got Voldemort has his Horcruxes, mm-hmm. and they are parts of him. And that always makes me think about things. If I was to lose, it would be like losing a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is a really cool pod. It's cool to be part of a podcast, this new millennial, you know, generation. But we do put a lot of value in objects. So take time to think about what means something to you, and yeah, enjoy the process because it's good fun.
Gemma Kerr, thank you for sharing your objects.